Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
And now, Father, ground us in the deep truths that have been revealed because of your Son, because of his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and the descent of the Spirit. Lord God, teach us what that means. Open our hearts and minds, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, after that, Billy, I wanted to order some onion rings, you know? What year was that popular?
1971.
Yeah, because that was on AM radio, back when we all listened to AM radio. And it was a regular, and I thought that was kind of cool. But how things have changed. And one of the things that I think is so good about our time is that the faith has become scandalous again. Now the faith has become something of an embarrassment. The Apostle Paul said it was a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, and maybe it's that way again. And as Paul said that, he was speaking to the church in Corinth, and what followed his ministry there and the ministry of God's people in the Roman Empire was that about 2 millennia later, the entire empire was overthrown and became a Christian empire. So maybe things are not quite so bad. Maybe we're not in that time of a wretched urgency after all. But I'd like to share with you from the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church in Corinth, and this is the oldest written record of the resurrection. Up to this point, it was all just word of mouth. And did you see? Well, my uncle saw. And let me tell you what he saw. And so the story went around and around. It was the Apostle Paul who began to write about it about 20 years later to the church in Corinth. Hear the word of God as it comes to us from 1 Corinthians. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and still you stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message. Unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important, what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor to me. And not without results, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have believed. But tell me this. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are you, some of you, saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And the apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. May God add his understanding to this hearing of his word. So Corinth was kind of like Los Angeles, or maybe New York. They were so smart. They thought that they were on the cutting edge of intellectual growth and knowledge. And they were so very sophisticated. And here comes the Apostle Paul, kind of rough hewn, a tough guy who was persecuting the church, and he had this phenomenal, incredible experience of meeting the Lord of himself, the risen Lord, while he was on his way to persecute Christians in Damascus. But he's kind of a nobody to them. Nevertheless, he came to Corinth and he says, I have passed on what I received. That's all I've done. I've simply given you the story, straight up, unalloyed, unaffected by my personal opinion. I just gave it to you as I received it. And that's the gospel. And that's what all of us in ministry are supposed to do. And that is simply pass on what we received, which is nothing new from the time of the first century, other than just theological reflection on it. Or, as was experienced in Corinth, cultural pollution. So they, in their sophistication and high levels of knowledge, they began to think that Paul was not just wrong, but when he uses this phrase, he said, well, it's Christ appeared last to me as if I was a miscarriage, as if I was an aborted child. That was, in all likelihood, language that they were using about the Apostle Paul. Paul's a freak. It's not that they didn't believe in life after death, but they believed that the body died and the soul went to heaven, that the flesh was evil and the spirit was good. They were all into that Aristotelian cosmology. The farther up you go, the better, more spiritual it is. The farther down you go, the more base it is and gross. The Apostle Paul is saying, if that's true, then Christ was not raised. And if Christ has been raised, that can't be true. That's the basic message, Paul says, that I gave you. But they are so smart. They're so above it all. And see, the apostle is reminding them of that which is most fundamental to the message. Now, this is what's driving me crazy about what's going on in the church these days. There's a lot of cultural pollution going on. I went into one website of a denomination, I won't tell you which one, but they turned the resurrection into merely a metaphor. The resurrection is not a metaphor. The resurrection is not a way of talking about, well, bunnies in the springtime. The resurrection is a fundamental truth in and of itself that we can then take and relate experiences to and relate our lives to. But it's not a metaphor that helps us understand just sort of new things in life. But here's a denomination that's doing this. And they're doing it with a cultural pollution that reflects the Well, you know the kind of stuff that's going on out there. And it's happening both on the right end of the church and on the left end of the church, both end. Read an article this week where a lot of baby boomers are not going to church anymore, and the number one reason was politics in the church. We don't come here, you don't care about my view on global warming. You could care less about that stuff from here. I'm an amateur politician. We want a politician, then we'll have Rick Scott speak for us. And he'll give us the word about what's going on in Washington, which is, he's done that before, and he had to turn off the recorder when he did it. We're not here to talk politics. We're here to talk that which we have received. And not mix it up with any kind of cultural pollution, but keep it straight. Nevertheless, we live in a time when, well, if you look at the last couple of weeks, we had an earthquake in New Jersey. Who's ever heard of an earthquake in New Jersey? Of course, some are saying that's a judgment of God, of course. An earthquake in New Jersey, and then the eclipse of the sun, and then yesterday, Israel gets attacked. So all of the apocalypticists come out with all of their theories, and we're all supposed to be so very worried. But in the midst of it all, what the resurrection tells us is that all of those earthly powers are irrelevant. So much of what is going on in the church today is the effort to associate oneself with earthly power, whether on the right or on the left. And that's why I say it's a good thing if the church is becoming a scandal again. If we don't have an association that links us to some exercise of power in our world, and again, right or left. And so instead, we're restored to that very fundamental message. Paul says, if Christ is not raised, then you are of all people most to be pitied. You, me, all of us. Means I'm in the wrong profession, and you're all in the wrong place this morning. And he goes on, our faith is useless, and there is no such thing as forgiveness of our sins. So whatever it is that has bothered us, that we've taken to the cross, that is allowed to eat its way through our lives and destroy us. We're dead in our sins. I saw a debate this week between John Lennox, who's a math professor at Oxford, and Richard Dawkins, who's a famous atheist. And they were talking about justice in the world. And Lennox, of course, was arguing as a Christian that there is such a thing ultimately as justice. Dawkins was saying that justice is all just a human construct. And when driven on to this point, John Lennox, as he was pushing Dawkins on this, Dawkins was just saying, with respect to justice, any kind of sense of final justice, he simply said, well, that's too bad. So what does that mean? That I stand at the gates of Auschwitz and say, well, it's too bad. What does that mean? That I cradle in my hands a three-month-old that was killed in an automobile accident? I just say, well, that's too bad. If there is no resurrection, Dawkins is right. It's just too bad. But the Apostle Paul goes on to say, but in fact, Christ has been raised. And that we will one day be raised with him. That we will be like him. But what does that mean? C.S. Lewis says, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. So all the stuff that's bothering so much of us and that is dominating all of our conversations about the politics and everything else is to God, or is to you and me, as the life of a gnat, Lewis says. But it is immortals with whom we joke, work, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. So you have never met an ordinary human being because of what we will be. And Christ is the first fruits of all of us who simply cave in to his good news to us, who simply accept what he has said to us. And we will, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. Now, you know what this is? I found it out front by the sidewalk. This is one that Ken missed when he was out there with his blower. This, according to the Apostle Paul, is a palm tree. And our similarity to that which God has made us to become is about the same as this to the full-grown tree. We cannot even begin to conceive that which God has in store for us. It is his full intent that we would be transformed into the very likeness of Christ himself, and that we would take on his nature. And so, death be not proud. Death has been conquered. There is no victory to sin, no victory to the grave. And how does this get expressed? I was at a vow hospice yesterday with Brian and Yulia and about 10 family members. And Brian at this time is heavily sedated. He's in renal failure. And it was a rather stunning thing to see a 54-year-old man at the precipice of eternity. And so we can face such a time as that and have a deep sense of fear, say, too bad, like a Dawkins. Or we can do what Glenna Hayhoe did. Glenna, who she and her husband founded a vow hospice. Glenna, who's a beloved member of our church and who has a great relationship with Brian and Yulia. She found out the family was going to be gathered, and so Glenna shows up with a bunch of cookies at a vow hospice. Somehow, in Glenna's showing up there, in that room where the inevitable is being pushed off as long as possible, and at least where this dear man is being kept comfortable, she delivered to them good news in the form of homemade cookies. And that's what we do. We carry that good news to one another. We don't say, too bad, as if there is no final justice in this world, as if there is no resurrection. We say, here is some food for the journey. This will help you through. Christ is alive, and he is the first fruits of all of us until that great harvest comes in. Let's pray together. And gracious Father, we proclaim these truths as they have been revealed to us, but it's beyond our comprehension. And so on this side of your call, we live with hope. You grant us every now and then visions of splendor, visions of deep and profound joy. And dear Father, we cling to the hope that is ours because in Christ we live. In Christ we pray. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.